Your Bibles, if you would, and open them to 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we will continue to work our way through the book of 1 Timothy, and we will look at a few more verses today than we did last week, as last week we just looked at two. We'll take on a few more this week, but nonetheless, I trust that the discussion will be beneficial, will be helpful, will be challenging, also be encouraging. One of the things I've learned about seeking to preach the book of 1 Timothy is just how much of what Timothy says, excuse me, what Paul says to Timothy is geared specifically for certain people or certain people groups. And I want to encourage you, as I often do, some of you probably already know what I'm getting ready to say. You know, as we gather this morning, and obviously you can see on the screen before you that we're going to talk about caring for widows. I trust that none of you are already saying, well, you know, it doesn't really affect me. Maybe I'm young, or maybe I don't know any widows, or, you know, whatever. I trust you'll stick with me this morning. You find that there just might be a little something here for you as well. And so I want to start, as we generally do, by just kind of reviewing what we looked at last week and trying to see how that segues into what we see in our text together today. And last week we were talking about the reality of dealing with people in general. We said a lot about just dealing with people. And more specifically, that you have to deal with people rightly, okay? What you do and how you do and what you say and how you say it and all these other things, they matter and they make a difference. But we saw last week that as Paul wrote to Timothy, he kind of broke up dealing with people into two main categories, dealing with men and dealing with women. And then after that, he broke up each of those main categories into two subcategories. When it comes to dealing with men, he broke it up into dealing with older men and then to be dealing with younger men. And likewise, when he spoke to dealing with women, he spoke to dealing with older women and then also with younger men. And so we sought to sort through that together last week. And one of our main, if not the main takeaway, was the reminder that the relationships that we have, and I've already said this morning, with people matter. And how we deal with people also matters. Because one of the things we said last week was this: how we think determines how we behave. All right? So in other words, if I have a predisposed mindset to a person or a people group before I encounter them, I will encounter them differently than I would if I didn't have a presupposed idea about them. Okay? Like, I this is a silly example I use. I was just talking with somebody the other day. I don't even remember who now. But we were talking about greeters at Walmart. And I said, you know, one of the things that drives me nuts is when I go to Walmart and the greeters don't greet me. Because I think, at the core, I wonder sometimes, like, why don't they greet me? Is it because I'm young? Is it because they, you know, not even in like of a disrespect thing? I get it. My generation is a bunch of brats, and they're just by nature disrespectful. And so maybe they've just kind of begun not welcoming the younger people as much as some of the other people because maybe they've been responded to unfavorably or whatnot. But you see the point that I'm making. Right, if I'm a greeter at the Walmart, when somebody comes in, I got to do the best that I can to be free from an idea of how that person is or how they're going to respond to me, and I need to seek to do my job and say hello or welcome to Walmart or whatever. And when they walk by, tell them bye, have a good day, those kinds of things. Right? Now, I know that's a silly example, but how we think determines how we behave. If you think somebody is beyond the grace of God, you won't pray for them. If you think somebody's heart is too hard, that God can't save them, that God can't soften that heart, that God can't do his work, you won't share the gospel with them. Because you've already convinced yourself because of your thinking that your behavior will follow. And if God can't save them, then I'm just not going to pray for them and I'm not going to share the gospel with them. Now, I'm just going to flat out tell you, that's a travesty. I was saddened this week when I was having a conversation with a friend, and he'd been working through a counseling situation, and he'd been working with another pastor and this family and some different things, and this other pastor's perspective was, this guy's too far gone. He's too far gone. And it saddens me to think that this is how church people think. That even God can't make a difference. But I say that again to say how we think determines how we behave. And even on a less of a gospel-sharing perspective, right? Like, if we don't view sin seriously, we don't take it seriously when we sin. If we don't believe, if we don't think with our minds from the Word of God that God has revealed that He has a standard that He has set and that sin is an abomination to Him, then we're just going to approach sin haphazardly because He'll forgive us. Grace will abound. How we think determines how we behave. I want to remind you this morning that our purpose as the church, not as Dale Bible Church, but as the church, which is made up of those who have trusted Christ for salvation, our purpose is to spread the fame of Jesus' name. Our purpose is to make Jesus known among the nations that He might accomplish His purposes. That we might make Him famous by sharing Him with people and seeing Jesus save the souls of the lost. But I want you to remember something else. If you do not deal well or rightly with people, you will have a very difficult time making Jesus famous. Whether that's because your testimony destroys anything that you would say with your mouth, so that people don't take you serious when you talk about Jesus, or if you just don't do well with building relationships and seeking to encourage people, then when you want to tell them about how much Jesus loves them and how much His love has changed your life, but yet you are mean and ornery and grumpy, and I'm at the front of the line, okay? That I have to regularly be reminded of my propensity to be all of the things that affect me and prevent me, rather, from building relationships. Because I want to make Jesus famous, and I want to make Him known. And so we have to be honest about the reality that we all make excuses, and we all have reasons why we can't, why we won't, or why we don't seek to build relationships with people. But the bottom line is this: as people of God, as the people of God, we must be building relationships and seeking to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how we treat people is going to go a very, very long ways towards determining whether or not we are able to do that. And that was verse 1 and 2 of 1 Timothy 5. And so we're going to pick up our text today in verse 3. And this is a pretty big chunk of scripture that will carry from here all the way to the end of the chapter. It's a text where Paul gives some instruction on how to deal with a couple specific groups of people within the church. He's made some broad statements, like we saw last week. You just got to deal rightly with people. But today he will narrow it in and focus upon a specific people group and how we deal with them or how we care for them. And this, of course, is the widows of the church. And after he discusses caring for the widows, next week we will discuss dealing with the elders who are teaching false doctrine. But for today, it's the widows. You see, the word widow is generally understood as carrying the basic thought of simply meaning loneliness. A widow is generally described as someone who is lonely. And when considering where at a window falls, widow falls in our discussion today, it's helpful for us to have a better idea of understanding exactly what Paul meant by when he said widow. You see, there's the idea of a bereaved widow. These widows have children or grandchildren who can help care for them and or meet their needs financially, okay? So a bereaved widow is somebody who is suffering from loneliness because they've lost a loved one. But then there's the idea that some widows are bereft and bereaved. And this means that these widows not only have been left alone, but also have no means of providing or taking care of themselves. Okay? So they're not as well off financially or physically, and they need aid. And so our understanding today of where a widow falls into which one of these categories will help us to know as a church, how do we respond to widows? We know what James says, pure and undefiled religion is what? That you care for the widows and the orphans in their distress. But what one of the things that we get from this text, as sad as it is that there were widows who were abusing the church. And they were taking their position as widows for granted, and they were taking advantage of the church. And the reason widows and elders are lumped together in chapter 5 is because some of these widows were promoting, and they were buying into these ideas the false teachers were promoting, and these false teachers were taking advantage of the widows and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so Paul starts to draw some lines and to create some understanding in regards to widows. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, please stand with me, and we will read our text together today. And I will begin reading in 1 Timothy 5, chapter 3. Paul says this, "Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows. For when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying that they should not, that saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows." Let's pray together this morning. Father God, we thank you again today for your word, and I thank you for how it speaks into our lives. I thank you that the truths of Scripture are just as relevant and just as meaningful and just as powerful today as they were some 2,000 years ago when they were penned. God, we thank you for the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We thank you that your word has been preserved and we have it for our use today, that we can know how to navigate matters of the church, that we can know how to deal with individuals in our churches, that we can gauge whether or not we're being obedient and faithful to your word in caring for those who need care. So God, I pray today that as we spend a few moments looking into your word, that you would give us honest and open hearts and eyes and minds, that we might see your word, that we might be transformed by it, and that we might be motivated to do your work for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You see, here's the truth of this text, one of the main truths. Paul says here that not every woman who is widowed should be cared for by the church, okay? Every woman who is widowed, her primary caregiver should not be the church. Some, yes, absolutely, but not all. And so I want to take a look this morning at these two groups of widows and how it is that we, as the body of Christ, can be sure that they are receiving the care that they need. Right? Because see, I don't care this morning if you're younger or if you're older, if you're single, if you're married, if you have kids, if you don't have kids. You have a part, you have a role in the lives of the widows of the church. or perhaps the widows in your own family. Okay? And so it's important that we kind of hear what's happening and what's going on here. So first thing I want to look at today is I want to talk a little bit about the widows who are not under the care of the church. Because again, Paul has shown us that there's two kinds of widows. Those the church should care for and those the church does not care for. And listen, when Paul says in verse 16, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. It's not a bad thing that the Apostle Paul says every widow doesn't fall under the care of the church. Okay? Because in a perfect world, I understand we don't live in one of those, but you understand what I mean when I say that. It's if there's family, it's better for family to care for widows than it is for the church. Okay? It's better for the family to care. And so when we speak to the family caring for widows rather than the church, we're just going to start right at verse 8. And he says again, I'll read for you, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You see, the reality that Paul is kind of laying out for us here is that it's pretty commonly accepted, even among unbelievers, that families take care of one another. Okay? Now, I recognize that is not always the case. I recognize that Paul talks in this passage about widows who have served faithfully and who have loved their families, and I understand that's not always the case. Okay? But the ideal situation, nonetheless, is that families would care for their widows. And again, even unbelievers in some regard share this idea. But sadly, I think even in our church, lots of times we miss this. We miss the fact that it's primarily us as a family. If we're a family that has a widow, that if it's within our means, we ought to be the ones providing and taking care of them. And I want you to understand something. What Paul's saying here in verse 8 is that when you as a believer in Christ fail to help take care of the widow in your family, you are rejecting the very faith you claim as a believer. Okay? Now again, I'm not saying when you don't have the means to provide for a loved one and you don't then provide for that loved one, shame on you. You're going to incur judgment and God's condemnation. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But we also, let's just be honest for a minute, okay? I want to be honest for a minute because my wife sent me an article yesterday and it was about parenting, all right? And the reality is, in a lot of regards, caring for a widow can be kind of like parenting. It takes sacrifice. It takes hard work, it takes commitment, it takes dedication. And the sad reality of believers missing the reality that their responsibility, if they're able to provide for widows, is this. We have a tendency to say, well, I'm not able because I work too many hours. I'm not able because I have too many responsibilities. I'm not able because ... Well, let's just start peeling back the layers of the onion. Why do you work so many hours? Well, because we have a big mortgage and two new cars, okay? Why do you have two new cars and a big mortgage? Why do I, and listen, I'm as guilty of this as, well, not two new cars and a big mortgage. I'm as guilty as the next person what I'm getting ready to say. And that, you know what we do today, especially in America? We run our kids so ragged in programs that we have time for nothing else, okay? And then, like, sometimes not just our household family, like our maybe our parents or our grandparents, not only do they suffer, but our families as a whole suffer. Okay? And so sometimes we have to be honest. That's kind of a theme over the last few weeks. Why don't we have time? Why don't we have the means? Well, maybe it's just because we just simply choose to be too busy. Maybe it's because rather than following the command of Scripture and caring for the widows and our families, we're too busy chasing 60 hours a week at work for the purpose of being able to have big houses and new and nicer cars. Now, I have to make the same caveat I always make. There's nothing wrong with a big house, and there is nothing wrong with a new car. But when the big house and the new car cause you to not be obedient to what the Word of God says, the big house and the new car is now a problem. And so sometimes we have to just start by being honest if we're going to seek to care for the widows of our families. Because caring for widows is not an idea, it's a command of Scripture. Therefore, Paul says, when you fail to care for your widows, you live contrary to your faith, and you're worse than an unbeliever, because even an unbeliever cares for the relation. So who are the widows that the family should be seeking to take care of, given there's family to take care of them? Well, again, Paul outlines some things here, but number one is the family is responsible or should be responsible for widows who are under 60 years old, okay? First and foremost, Paul's responsibility to widows under 60 was to marry. Now, I understand a widow who is 35 is not the same as a widow who is 55 or 58 or even right there at 60 where Paul draws the line for us. But really, if we think about comparing women under 60, again, especially if we're talking 30s and 40s versus women over 60, it makes sense why the Apostle Paul would say, listen, if you're young and you're widowed, remarry. You see, apparently, there was an official role in the church in which the widows were put on. Okay? And so, number one, I just kind of got thinking, when did we get away from this? Is the church. I've never been in a church that has an official role that recognizes the widows and seeks to be sure that the widows of that role are spoken of and cared for. But the reality is that there is some sort of specific document or tracking that determines these widows. And see, what was happening was some of these younger widows were being enrolled into this widow caring program, if you will. And they were kind of living off the church. They were maybe taking advantage of the church a little bit because they're younger. Maybe they're a little more able-bodied. Now, I understand in the first century, it wasn't as easy as it is today for a woman to just go out and get a job. Generally, a woman's well-being and who she was tied to the fact of who her husband was and what he did. And so single women could be in tough situations. But really what seems to be at issue here is that this enrollment into the widow role has something to do with a commitment to the work of the church and the ministry. And some of these younger women were being enrolled and they were being cared for by the church until something else came along, a la, you know, a big, young, buff, strong man to care for her. And then they were leaving their commitment to the church and the work of the church high and dry to then go and remarry. And so that's why when Paul says they desire to marry, verse 12, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith, he's not talking about abandoning your faith in Jesus because you remarry as a widow. He's talking about abandoning that enrollment that you, for the lack of a better term, agreed to when you became part of the widow-caring role of the local church. When they were enticed away, Paul says, by their desires, they turned from it. And so these widows, when they were enticed, they desired to remarry. They forsook their commitment in order to leave the widow role and then to remarry. So Paul says, let's just forget that part and just remarry. All right? That's what he says ahead of time. Let's cut out dealing with trying to sort it out and who's on the roll and who's not. If you're under the age of 60 and you're able, just remarry. But he also speaks to widows of all ages in verse 13, who's not under the care of the church, and that's widows who are idle, okay? You see, there's another group of widows that ought not be enrolled on the widow roll, and again, that's the aforementioned women who are idle. Now, these widows who are idle tend to be more prone to gossip. There's a whole list of things here, being busybodies, of being idlers. And Paul flat out calls them gossips. And if we just think about it, it makes sense why. If I just sit in my house all day long And maybe once or twice a day I get a visitor and they are reminding me or letting me know of the new happenings or what's going on with so-and-so. The next time I get a visitor, what am I going to do? I'm going to talk about the happenings or the dealings with so-and-so that I heard from such-and-such last time they were here. So Paul says, when you're able, don't be idle. Don't just be busybodies, be productive. Warren Wiersbe once said, in all of the churches that he has pastored, the greatest spiritual powerhouses were the widows. But he also said that the greatest detriment to the church in the various churches he's pastored was the idle widows. See, the widows in our churches and in our families have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to be a great, great part of the work of the Lord. But they also have the ability, when they become idle and busybodies, they also have the ability to be very, very destructive. And so Paul says, let the families care for these widows. There was some form of responsibility that was being created between the church and the widows who were on the widow roll. I don't know exactly what that looks like. Okay? But the point was, there was something beyond idleness and busybodies. But there are some widows, however, that have not the family. Or maybe they have the family that is too busy or unable to take responsibility, and then the church does, or at least should, step up and seek to care for these widows. These are, of course, the widows who are under church care. And he says, again, I'm going to give you four things that Paul says about these widows that qualify for being under church care. Number one, he says they ought to be over 60. Okay? Number two, he says they ought to be a one-woman man. Number three, he says they ought to be reputable. Number four, he says they ought to be committed to Christ and his work. Those four things are found in verses 9 and verse 10. Now, here's the reason I kind of just lumped those together real quick, and we're going to talk a little bit about them for just a minute. Bottom line is this. Paul says the church is going to care for the widows who have demonstrated faithfulness. Demonstrated faithfulness, who have given their lives to loving and leading and who have already been a part. See, you can't take a widow who's never been a part of the church and enroll her in an enrollment program, again, if you will, for the lack of a better term, expecting her to be a productive part of the work of the church if she's never been a work of the church. So the kind of widows that the church is looking to take care of is those who have been a part of the work, who have demonstrated faithfulness. Now, I am not saying that if a woman has never been a part of a church, oh, you kick her to the curb and you're not helping her. I'm not saying that. There are some things that you have to, as a church board and the leadership of that church, you have to use some discretion, right? One of the things I've learned in my, I don't know what, four, two, and about 7 years of ministry now, is everything isn't black and white, okay? Sometimes you have to use discretion. You have to take into consideration all of the variables of a given widow's circumstances as the church comes alongside her and supports her. Because here's the thing. When Paul was talking about churches being enrolled in the role of widows, the church cared for them. Their whole well-being came from the church. Now again, I don't know exactly what that looked like in the first century. But I do know we don't see a lot of that today because things are a little bit different today than they were in the first century. But what I want to make sure that we understand this morning is that we no less have an opportunity to care for those who are widows, okay? I spent the last week with a family who laid a husband to rest. She is now a widow. She is going to move in with her daughter and her husband and their kids, and she's going to be cared for. Does that mean that we shouldn't care for her in any capacity? Absolutely not. There's women in our church right now who the Lord has saw fit to leave them as widows. Does that mean that we don't care for them now because they have family? Absolutely not. Because one of the things that is the pastor of Dale Bible Church I want to see happen is if we refer back to Warren Wiersbe's comment about the widows of the church being a powerhouse, a spiritual powerhouse when it comes to some of the functioning of the church, and especially when it comes to the praying over and for the church, we ought to want to encourage our widows. I don't care if they got family or not. I hope more than anything the ladies of Dale Bible Church know that they're cared for and that they're loved. And so sometimes we have to ask the question, I understand there is sometimes a difficult dynamic between the younger and older generations, all right? The older generation, they don't care for the same kind of music as the younger generation. The older generation, they like a more traditional service as a whole. The older generation, there's things that they want to see different than the younger generation. I understand those things. But one of the things that I am so thankful for, and one of the biggest reasons that I brag on Dale Bible Church every chance I get, is because by and large, listen, we're not perfect, and I understand that. I think we get it. I have to be careful saying that, because you know it takes about that long for things to plummet or to become difficult. I was having a conversation this week with one of the older gentlemen of the church, and we were talking about worship, I think is what we're talking about. And it came up because we were talking about a church that's struggling and just different things. And I was drawing off the time. First thing came right to my mind was the first time we ever sang "This Is Amazing Grace" by Phil Wickham. And you guys all know that. We sang it. And it's very upbeat. It's very, you know, up-tempo. And we got done. And in the fashion by which only this man can, he speaks up and says, "That's got to be the worst rendition of Amazing Grace I've ever heard." And we laughed. But I will tell you this. We still sing "This Is Amazing Grace." And I also will tell you this. When we do, that gentleman who maybe doesn't have a taste for that song, I can hear doing the best that he can to sing "This Is Amazing Grace" by Phil Wickham. Because he gets it. Because he gets it. That the church is about the advancement and the purposes of the gospel. Now, he's not a widow because he's a man and because he's still married, but here's my point. When you have an older congregation or older people in your congregation, maybe some who are widowed and some who are not, I'm steering away from widows for just a moment, we ought to make it our aim to make sure they know that we love and appreciate them. We ought to be seeking, just as much as they should, to bridge that gap between our generations, because I understand it can be difficult. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. The older people at Dale Bible Church that understand that this is not their church and it's not just about them, but it's about the gospel, are special. Because I'm in churches all the time where they don't understand. People don't understand, and they think the ministry in the church is about them, and it makes ministry difficult. And so young people, and I'm encouraging you to get alongside some of these older people. I don't care if they're widowed or not. Get alongside some of these older people. Learn from them. There are older people here who have met some of these qualifications that Paul talks about in dealing with widows. They've loved. They've lived. They've led. They've been faithful. They've sought to demonstrate godliness in their homes, in their families, and in their lives. And if there's one thing, young people and old people alike, that we need, it's godliness. We need godliness. We don't just need church on Sunday. We don't just need Bible reading during the week. We need godliness. Now, I'm not saying there's not young people who demonstrate godliness. I'm not saying there's not middle-aged people who demonstrate godliness. I absolutely believe there are both of those. But people of Dale Bible Church, please understand, especially in regards to the older people of Dale Bible Church, they have demonstrated godliness. I've only been here 2.5 years, okay, and I've seen it. And I know it didn't start just because a new, young, handsome pastor got here. It's long been demonstrated. And so we can learn from them. we can grow with them. We can be an encouragement to them. Next time you go to get ice cream or you go to have pizza, call somebody and invite them. Find out what they're doing. I'm going to get a scoop of ice cream. You want to go? Hey, are you home? I've got a pizza and I need somebody to help me eat it. It's amazing how a slice of pizza or a scoop of ice cream can bridge a gap between generations. And so I want to ask you this as we close. As a professing believer in Christ, that of course presumes or assumes that you are one, how you deal with the widows and the elderly, I don't like the word elderly, how you deal with the widows and the older people of your church is a big deal. Are there widows in your family that you could be seeking to love and to care for? Are there widows in this body that you could be seeking to love and to care for? See, God takes his people who are more able caring for his people who are less able very seriously. And if we make it our aim to love people as Scripture calls us to, then we will never go wrong when dealing with the widows of the church or of our families. But know this, caring for widows takes sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time and your efforts and your resources. But at the end of the day, these women have cared for us in many ways in our very own lives. And God tells us in his word that the God-honoring thing to do is to return the care that we have received. Let's pray together.